The truth of the matter. Answering questions people are asking with biblical truth. The truth of the matter is brought to you by Vision Media, an outreach ministry of Southside Baptist Church in Lakeland, Georgia.
I'll give you an example. Let's just say, we're going to go to lunch after this. So let's just say that one of y'all comes into lunch after this, and especially some of our younger believers, and y'all walk in and Brother Austin's got him a tall one on the table. I'm talking about, I mean, a big one. The issue at hand in that moment is what it does to that person. Here's what Paul's argument is. If you love that person, whether you have the liberty to do it or not, if you love a weaker brother, don't do it. Paul is saying love always trumps liberty. Love for other people and what it might do for two other people, it always trumps what you might feel like you have the liberty to do. And Paul's making sure that the church understands this. He's saying, listen, your witness and your influence is so much more important than your little glass of wine. He's saying it's so much more important. You do not want to cause someone to stumble over something so small. So he's making a clear point there. He says, let's go to the next part. He says, remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. I can't even mess that up. What do y'all want me to do with that? You want me to skip it? He's saying this, he's trying to get a little across that your influence is so important. It's so much more important than your freedom. So much more important than causing someone to stumble rather than helping them step up. I'm going to get that in just a moment. He says that you may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Again, he's dealing with the concept of consciousness, of your conscience. Now, look, if you will, at the second one real quickly. This is what I love. Be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. See, here's the whole point of what Paul is saying. Paul is saying this crowd over here, who are young believers, they're still trying to grow. They have a certain level of dependence on this crowd, just like an infant newborn baby has on its parents. They're dependent on you, and he's not addressing them. But think about it. Paul's not addressing the immature crowd. Paul is addressing the mature crowd. He's saying, listen, be mature, be grown up. Don't do anything to cause them to stumble. In fact, what Paul would say is this, edify them. He used the word edify. He said, you should not only help make them stumble, you also should do everything you can to edify them, to help build them up. I love what it says in Exodus. I was hoping I could make this fit in this particular point, but remember Moses and Joshua, and it says that Moses said to Joshua, choose some men, go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It was when Moses held his hands up that Israel prevailed. When he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But this is what I want you to look at. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone, they put it under him, he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands and they held him up. This is a picture of what Paul is talking about. We should be, as mature believers, we should be doing everything we can to hold up the hands of those who are weak, those who are less mature. We should be doing everything we can to support them, to provide a stepping stone to maturity. God has called us to do that. So I want to call on some leaders in this church. Stop touting your liberty and fall in love with the less mature and lay some things down so that they don't stumble over your liberty. He's being so clear here. He's saying, you have the potential. You have the potential to be a stumbling block and to cause people to stumble. And by the way, I'd say this to you. You know this works almost everywhere. This works when you're out in public. You know, when you're somewhere and you have the opportunity to not do this kind of conduct, not to partake in whatever the conduct might be. The whole point of this is that people are watching you. Let me talk to some parents in here. Stop telling your children to stop doing things they're watching you do. They're going to stumble over you. They're going to stumble over your hypocrisy. See, the Bible says this, it's better to get a millstone and tie it around your neck than it is to offend one of these little ones. And I encourage you to understand, your children can stumble over you quicker than they can stumble over anyone. I'm not preaching perfection. You're looking at the most imperfect parent in this place. But I want for there to be this love for my children, to which you're going to see this in the end of this, to which I'm willing to, there's just things I'm just not going to do, even if I had the liberty to do them. I'm not going to do for the sake of my kids and my grandkids. And Paul is, listen to what Paul is saying. Paul is saying it matters. Here's what Paul is addressing. He's saying, here's what matters. Y'all ready for this? Your conduct matters. See, one of the easiest things you can do is talk about being a Christian. One of these things you can do is come down and get ready and come down here on Sunday morning for an hour and a half and sit on these pews. It's one of the easiest things you'll do. But what Paul is saying is that your conduct, what you do, how you live your life, it matters deeply. In fact, let me read this one real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Paul addresses this in the second letter he wrote to the Corinthian believers. It says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. Look what Paul, this was such a big deal to Paul. This issue of stumbling was such a big deal to Paul that Paul said, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we're true ministers of God. We endure troubles, hardships, and he goes through things he does. The whole point of it is Paul is saying this. Paul's saying, people are not going to stumble over the way that I live my life or the way that I do my have the way that I live out liberties that I have in Jesus. Paul said, other people matter more. How much do they matter to Paul? Well, if you'll look at the last part there, there's love and sacrifice. I love verse number 13. It's probably my favorite part of this. But look what it says. It says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, this is crazy, I will never again. This is a lifelong commitment. I don't know if this is true. You can go back and check me, but I glanced at it to see. I want to think this might be the only time in this particular text Paul got this personal. He's been talking to them the whole time. Now he turns around and says, here's my commitment. Paul says, I am so committed to other people, and I care so much that I help be a stepping stone for other people, not a stumbling block. He said, if I find out, again, not for Pharisees, but if I find out for a young believer that my eating of meat is causing that young believer to stumble over me, to legitimately stumble over me, Paul says, I'll never eat meat again. You say, my goodness, what is wrong with Paul? Nothing. Paul is dead on. Paul is saying, listen, my influence matters. Your influence matters.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Truth of the Matter today. I want to remind you that you can pay us a visit on the web at thetruthofthematter.com or southsidelakeland.org. If you go there, you can find our messages, and we also love to hear from you, so you can contact us. We also want to invite you out to our churches. Cornerstone begins at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning. Southside begins at 10:45 a.m. in Lakeland. And we also have wonderful Wednesday nights for children, youth, as well as adults at both churches. So we would love to have you come out. At Southside in Lakeland, we also have a preschool, Bright Beginnings. And so if you're interested in that, go to the website. You can contact us from there. Again, that is southsidelakeland.org. Thank you again for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the rest of this message.
Several years ago, I went to a convenience store in Homerville. I had a hat on that was a, I'm not going to tell you what it was. There's this guy at Cornerstone. He can't stand it when I do that, so he always comes up to me after and says, tell me what it was. But I'm not going to tell y'all what it was. But it was written in cursive. It was promoting a sports company. And it was clear. I mean, it wasn't something that I thought was ever even questionable. So I walk in this convenience store. Again, it's Homerville. I was born there. I know just about everybody over there. And so I walked by this guy, and I saw him look at me. I mean, he looked at me strange. And I went on out there and paid my money, and I was going to walk out. Well, he was waiting for me. And he looked at me, and he said, are you still a preacher? You know how this is. There's been people waiting 28 years for me to fall. And I said, yes, man. Still preaching the gospel. And I was excited. Yeah, still a preacher. He said, well, you're still a preacher. I can't believe you'd wear a hat with that on it. I thought, what do I have on? And I read it, and it was, I mean, all it was a sports company. Well, he had misread it. I mean, he had totally misread it. I said, man, I said, listen, that doesn't say, he quoted what he thought it said. I said, that doesn't say that. That doesn't say that. Here, and I was just spell it out for him. I said, that's not what the hat says. Well, yeah, I didn't go home and burn that hat because I thought most people can read clear cursive. But my point is that he looked at that and it offended him until he realized it wasn't the case. And it was another one of those moments in my life that I was reminded of the power of influence. You know, I titled this message, The Stewardship of Influence. And you know who stewards your influence? You do. And you have influence. If you're a Christian, you have influence. And you do. You have to be someone who will steward that, who'll take care of that. Because your potential to influence for good or for bad, it's all out there. And what Paul is saying in this whole text is Paul is saying what love does is love always looks for an opportunity to edify. Love always tries to help be a stepping stone for younger believers and children that you don't want to do anything. You want to guard it. You don't want to be one of those people who say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. You need to get over yourself. You need to care what other people think. You know, we don't perform. I don't try to get them performed for Pharisees and legalists, but for me to say that these young people in here this morning and all those kids back there, is there anyone in here who will sincerely stand up right now in this building and say, I don't care what those kids see me do? Are you serious? You got to be kidding me. I've taught the word here for 28 years, and that's the best we got? To do that? No, tell me. I just can't believe that. I want to believe that the majority of people who are in this building, you do care. It does matter what a less mature, even if they're 50 years old. It does matter what a child back here sees you doing, hears you saying. The day that you say, I don't care about that, it's a sad day. Amen. You know, I was reminded of the power of influence, probably greater than any time in my life that I remember. In fact, this really came home personal to me a couple of years ago when I finally got in touch with a guy that I barely remembered from college. I barely remember him. Wes, you remember him, but I barely remembered him. And somebody told me, I don't know, 15 years ago that this guy had named his son after me. We went to ABAC together. I didn't remember him very well, not real well. But I had spurts when I was in college. It was weird because I think it was God preparing me for ministry. So I had spurts, man, where I joke with y'all. I was just telling my brother-in-law, Craig, that when I go to Atlanta, I still have to drive around Tifton because it was such a mess when I was up there. But there were spurts in there where God was working in my heart. It was strange. So there would be seasons where God was doing something inside. I think it was preparation for ministry. But there was a season there where I just got into the Word, and God was working in my life. Well, I had no idea, none, literally, that there was this young man that was at ABAC with me at the time who was watching. He was watching. So I found out some time back that he had a son, and he named his son Austin. And through some communication we had in the last year, he sent me a picture of that guy. You talk about handsome? Man, that boy was handsome. It's a good-looking young man, really good-looking young man. So he sent it to me. Well, we finally ended up getting in touch with one another. And it was like we had known each other our whole life. I mean, it was one of the best conversation we've ever had. He has a business down in Florida, a good business, and when I called him recently, he said, I just want to tell you how it happened, Austin. Because y'all know this, and I honestly before the Lord try to do this. I could tell so many bad stories as to why somebody didn't name their son Austin. We're going to go with the one that somebody did. So he said, I want to tell you the story behind it. I said, well, I want to hear it. He said, when you were at ABAC, he said, you used to love Charles Stanley. And I don't doubt that a bit. I've always liked Dr. Stanley. He said, you should love to listen to him. He said, you had these CDs of him, of Charles Stanley preaching, or cassette tapes. I can't remember what I had. Might have been cassettes then. Could have been 8-tracks for all I know. Might have been reel to reel. Who knows? But he said, you used to have those. He said, but you didn't have a radio. We called them boom boxes for all you young kids. He said, you didn't have a boom box to play it on. He said, so you used to ask me if you could borrow mine. He said, so I'd let you borrow it. He said, the problem was, he said, you'd come get my boom box, you'd go to your room and play it, and you'd turn it up loud enough for me to hear it. And he said, you had no idea that God was using that to touch me. And he said, it touched me so much at that time when you had no idea. He said, I named my own son after you. You have no idea. You can't imagine the impact and the influence that you're having when you don't even know it. Just one decision after another. Letting people see Christ in your life. Sometimes, like in my case with that, I didn't even know it. I had no idea. But people are watching. And the way God has made this thing work is that the younger believers are going to be looking to the more mature believers. You know what they're going to be looking to you for? They're going to be looking to you for loving them enough at times to just say, my liberties don't matter. You matter more. What matters more than anything else to me is that I want to be a stepping stone to you, not a stumbling block. I don't want you to fall over me and fall on your face spiritually. That's what a stumbling block is. I want for you to be able to look to me and take another step up. And I want to love you enough to do everything that I can do to be a stepping stone for everyone in this church, for everyone in this ministry, for those kids that got up and walked out of here. Can you imagine the influence that you have? Can you imagine the influence these people are having and how much influence you're having on those little lives that just walked out of here, that they're going to get to hopefully for a whole life, that they're going to get to look to you, and we're going to have people in this room who are going to care far less about your liberties and far more about being a stepping stone so that those kids can become everything Christ died for them to become. Paul says a lot of that rests on you. A lot of that rests on how much you love them, how much you care for them, whether or not your love for them exceeds the liberties you may have in Christ. And I pray this morning that we'll be a church that will care much more about people than we do our own rights. And Paul says every bit of that is rooted in love. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. It edifies. So I wonder this morning if anyone in here just needs to be reminded maybe one more time of the incredible influence, the potential that you have to influence other people. Rededicate yourself this morning to say, I want to be the greatest influence for the cause of Christ that I can possibly be in this time God gives me. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, to bow your heads right where you are. Maybe this morning you need to come and dedicate that to the Lord. God, I want to be influential for the cause of Christ. I want to love people, love these children, love everyone enough to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Father, in Jesus' name, touch your people, I pray, Lord. I pray we would be a church in this community and in this world that would be a stepping stone for others to get where they need to get to spiritually. God, help us to never cause others to stumble over our conduct. Help us to love people enough, Lord, to lay down liberties for the sake of the gospel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for tuning into the Truth of the Matter today. I hope you enjoyed the message. I want to take just a moment and encourage you to pay us a visit on our websites, thetruthofthematter.com or southsidelakeland.org. We also would invite you to come out and be a part of our worship services on Sunday. We meet at 9 o'clock a.m. in Homerville at Cornerstone, 10:45 a.m. at Southside in Lakeland. Please pay us a visit. If you don't have a church home, we would love to see you. Don't forget, the greatest news you'll ever hear is out of heaven, that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never trusted Christ, it's our prayer that today you will do that. Have a wonderful day, and thank you so much again for tuning in to the Truth of the Matter.